Are you looking for a new basketball shoe? If so, this is Gary Parrish here to tell you that the New Balance 2-Way V4 features the groundbreaking use of fuel cell technology with fresh foam, creating the ultimate combination of rebound and cushioning. Every step feels explosive and dynamic, and the upper construction features a lightweight textile that's supportive and breathable. So whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the 2-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the 2-Way at newbalance.com.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You don't want to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You're ready, Bob.
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
It's Gary Parrish. Welcome back. CBS Sports Eye on College Basketball Podcast, where we sometimes discuss camel fighting, dodo birds, leaky black. The Eye on College Basketball Podcast is presented by Jersey Mike's. Jersey Mike's, sub above. Kyle Boone's here. Strong jaw. If you watch it on YouTube, smash the like button like you're Brandon Davies. You have consent. And please, while you're here, if you haven't done it already, also subscribe to the CBS Sports College Basketball YouTube channel. Let's get into it. One half of the Sweet 16 is done. One half of the Elite Eight is set. Let's start in the West region, where we got a couple of upsets on Thursday night. Were you looking forward to North Carolina, Arizona? Were you looking forward to Caleb Love against his former team? Because if so, I got terrible news. Also terrible news if you're a Carolina fan or an Arizona fan. They ain't going to play. Their seasons are over, and that's because we had two upsets in Los Angeles on Thursday night. Final score, Clemson 77, Arizona 72. That was game one. Final score, Alabama 89, North Carolina 87. That was game two. It sounds like a college football playoff game. Clemson, Alabama in Los Angeles on a Saturday, but it's not. It's an Elite Eight game in the 2024 NCAA tournament, and the winning school and the winning coach will be in the Final Four for the first time the following weekend. Strong jaw, before we discuss each game individually, just your thoughts on Alabama Clemson meeting in the Elite Eight as a 4 seed and a 6 seed.
Yeah, wild. An exciting night of Sweet 16 action. Alabama put on a show, put on a clinic on offense. Grant Nelson was awesome. Clemson, they did the dang thing. And this did not feel at all like a fluky outcome. You know, I think Arizona, I would still pick to beat Clemson. And I think probably 8 out of 10 times that would happen. But, you know, on this night, Clemson just kind of kicked them up and down the floor. And Clemson, just the way they played on defense, Arizona, unfortunately, the way they shot on offense. Now we have Clemson, Alabama in the Elite Eight. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Let's just focus on the games in the order that they were played. So let's start with the Clemson-Arizona game. Were you surprised that Clemson, for lack of a better phrase, punched first? They kind of came out, took control, and then pretty much controlled the game from start to finish. I don't want to say it was never in doubt, because it obviously was, but this wasn't a situation where the lower-seeded team hung around and then made some shots and then got lucky. They won the game for 40 minutes, basically.
I was surprised. Yeah, I mean, this Arizona team has some volatility to it. You know, the way they play offense, they play an up-tempo style. Tonight, in particular, they shot a ton of three-point shots, ended up finishing 5 of 28 from three, and that was, to me, the story. Clemson kind of ran out a zone defense, and Arizona just chucking shots, settling. They just had no answers for that. Brad Brunell, after the game, said he felt incredibly fortunate, which was about right. He more or less was alluding to the fact that Arizona had a really, really tough night shooting the basketball. Again, finished 5 of 28 from three-point range. They play this game again. Arizona probably, I don't know if they win this game, but they certainly make more than 5 three-point shots just because this offense is so, so potent. But on this given night, Clemson played better. They punched first. They held them off late. Arizona just did not have the offense to kind of keep up in this game.
So I was in studio, obviously, tonight. That's why I'm in a tie. It's also why we're starting late. I apologize. And at one point, Brent Stover, who was hosting tonight, asked me, you know, what? So if you're an Arizona fan, like, how do you make sense of this, and how do you view the season? And that's always a difficult thing to try to do, particularly after it ends so abruptly. But it's difficult to do because this is a sport where we play basically for 5 months. And unless the end is good, the first 4 months don't matter. And if the end is good, it's almost like the first 4 months don't matter. Like it's North Carolina played in a national championship game a few years ago. You might remember.
Yeah.
North Carolina did not have a good season, but they had a great tournament.
Right.
And then every year there's teams that have great seasons, but don't have great tournaments. Purdue last season's a great example of that. Yeah. And I think Arizona right now is that as well. Some of it was when your best player is Caleb Love. You know, you leave yourself a little susceptible to this. Yeah. He 5 of 18 from the field, 0 of 9 from 3. Don't put this all on him because it's not all on him. Yeah. But when Caleb Love is your best player, he's going to have some great nights and he's going to have some rough nights. That's the story of Caleb Love. And when he has the rough nights, he ain't going to stop. You know, there's never a moment where he's going to go, I missed the first 8. Might not take this one. You know, he's going to keep doing what he does. And if it's not going well and you're playing against a competent opponent and there's other things also not going well, then this is the type of thing that happened. I don't want to pretend that I predicted this because I didn't. But earlier today, when Norlander and I did the Ion College Basketball Podcast on CBS Sports Network, I did say, if you look at Arizona, they, before this game, had lost 8 times all season. Mm-hmm. Now it's 9, obviously, and that'll be the final number forever. But heading into this game, they'd lost 8 times. And 7 of the 8 losses were to sub-30 KenPom teams.
Right.
And Clemson was, I think, before tip-off, top 25 at KenPom, certainly top 30. So my point was, Arizona should win this game. Arizona is the better team. But they've lost a lot of games to a lot of teams, just like Clemson or even worse. So, like, you know, be careful. And then what happened. And so now the question becomes, like, how do you view Arizona's season? It was a great season with a bad ending. It's the same thing I said about Virginia a few years ago, about Purdue last season. It was a great season with a bad ending. And I now know that that's 3 years for Tommy Lloyd at Arizona, 2 conference championships, 2 conference tournament championships, incredible seeds in every tournament, and he loses to a lower seeded team every time. Hasn't made it to the Elite Eight yet. I got it. But I don't know if you saw his post-game interview with Allie LaForce. I loved it. I hope they pull it and use it going forward the same way we constantly pull that Dan Hurley press conference moment where he says, you better get us now because it's coming.
Yep.
Allie asked Tommy, I don't remember the question exactly, and I don't want to put words in her mouth, but at the end of it, Tommy said, listen, you know, we didn't shoot the ball well, and you know, when you do that, sometimes this is the type of stuff that can happen, but this is the part that I zeroed in on. He said, we will be back in this position many, many times, and I believe that firmly, and what he seemed to be suggesting in a humble but confident way is, I'm not rattled by this. I know other people are. I've even seen it in the chat tonight since we started talking. Tommy Lloyd, built for the regular season, not built for the NCAA. I don't buy any of that. I think it's all nonsense. I think the nature of this event is going to always lend itself to, you know, Oakland over Kentucky. Right, that kind of stuff has forever happened, and it will forever happen. And sometimes those kind of things happen to the same programs over and over again in a way where it starts to feel like, well, maybe this guy really can't do these things. I will never forget, and I've told this story 45,000 times, But I will never forget talking to Billy Donovan after he won his first national championship. And one of the things he said, and I guess I could have just looked this up, I didn't remember it. He clearly remembered it. He said, "Do you realize before I won this national title, I was eliminated from the first or second round of the NCAA tournament 5 straight years? Not get out of the NCAA tournament. First or second round. I couldn't make the second weekend 5 straight years. He said, Google my name. I'm paraphrasing here, but he was like, Google me. It was out there. Can Billy Donovan win the big one? Mm-hmm. Oh, Billy Donovan can't get out of the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. That's all they said. And then they did. And then they won the whole thing. And then they won the whole thing again. And now he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer someday, right? The point Billy made to me was, if you keep building teams that are theoretically good enough to advance, to go deep, to go to a Final Four, to win a national team, if you keep building enough of those, eventually it'll happen for you. You're going to need some luck along the way. You're going to need something to bounce your way. And sometimes it's not going to bounce your way, and that'll be the years where you lose in the round of 32. But if you keep building top-shelf teams, eventually it will happen. And it did for Billy. I believe it will for Tommy. And there's a long list of guys who couldn't do it until they did.
Right.
I can remember going on radio in Kansas City over and over again, and they would ask me pre-2008, do you think Bill Self can really win the big game? I swear to God. When's this guy going to break through? Can he do it?
Scott Drew.
I don't want to say every guy because that's not true, but there is a long list of guys. Bill Self, Jay Wright, John Calipari. Hey, are we sure this guy can do it? Right. He ain't done it yet. Well, let me tell you what they are doing. And this is what they were all doing. Billy before his title, John before his title, Bill Self before his title, Tommy Lloyd right now. You know what they were all doing? Building teams annually, rather consistently, that are theoretically good enough to go to Final Fours and win national championships. And eventually, because those men kept doing it over and over again, it broke through and happened for every one of them. And I just keep this. It'll happen for Tommy Lloyd someday. If Tommy Lloyd coaches at Arizona for 15 years, I do believe that he will win a national championship. He's built three teams already. He's been a head coach 3 years. He's built three teams already that are good enough to do it. Yeah, it's just it hadn't happened. It will. So if you want to get your little jokes in now about Tommy Lloyd can't do this, can't get them in now, because eventually he's going to bust right through that thing. I promise you.
I don't know. Dan Hurley's still coaching at UConn, so this dynasty is never going to end for the UConn Huskies.
Well, that could be the other problem, is that just UConn never loses again, and then nobody ever gets to win anything ever again other than Dan Hurley at UConn. But, you know, on the flip side of this, result is, you know, a Brad Brunell who's lived on the hot seat for, it feels like, forever. Yep. And so there's a guy who people have been wondering, like, should he even keep his job? Like, every year I do a hot seat list, and every year I'm like, hey, Brad Brunell, good to see you again. Can't believe you're back here, but here you. And this will cool it, at least temporarily. And just take that, set it aside. It just couldn't be happier for the guy. Like, mm-hmm. I can't imagine. It's not easy living with job speculation all the time. Have you ever, I don't want to get too personal, so I won't even ask that. But, like, if you're ever in the last year of a contract, you know, and you're like, hey, you know, where is this? You know, have you ever had people where this guy has been like more or less in that place for year after year after year? Like, I'm here right now and I really like it. I don't know if they'll want me back next year. Yeah. Let me go coach for my job. Like, that's a hard way to coach. It's a hard way to live. And he has found a way to be comfortable in that space. And now it's just happening for him. You know, was there any point in this season where Clemson looked like one of the last eight teams that'd be playing? No, of course not. Of course not. But that's where they're at. And what I love most about this Final Four in Los Angeles, you know, you just sort of find, I mean, this Elite Eight matchup in Los Angeles, you look for something, and if it ain't there, then you try to find something else. What did I want to watch? I wanted to watch Caleb Love against North Carolina. I thought that would be awesome. Yeah. But what will I now watch? I'll watch Clemson, Alabama, and that'll be equally awesome, because either a Clemson program that most people have never really taken seriously, or an Alabama program that has been really good. Keep in mind, they were the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament, like, you know, recently. Yep. And This team, though, looked nothing like ever being capable of that, because their own coach a month ago said, we don't guard anybody, if you guys didn't know. And now here they are. One of those programs is going to the Final Four, and that's awesome.
It's fantastic. Yeah, it's a great story for Clemson, obviously, Brad Brunell. Clemson's second Elite Eight appearance in program history. It's their first since 1980, GP. Were you alive in 1980?
Just barely, but yes.
Okay, just checking. Yeah.
I was three. I was going to be 3 years old in 1980.
Okay.
So we've got a few of those now. Yeah. Like Purdue hadn't been to Final Four since 1980. 1980 is a big year in this Sweet 16 Elite Eight. So just a fab. It's not what we expected to see, happen in that Arizona Clemson game. But, for Clemson, you couldn't be happy for them. Then on the other side, Alabama. Let's spend a few minutes on this one. They beat North Carolina 89-87. The Tar Heels were actually up double digits in this game at one point. And then Alabama just, stayed true to what they do. And we had talked about this pregame on March Madness 360, CBS Sports Network, earlier tonight. And one of the points I'd made was that if I'm a one seed, Alabama isn't like the best, four or five seed that we could have theoretically played in the Sweet 16. I mean, maybe they are, but you'll get the point I'm making. But I did think they were the most dangerous. In the sense that you know exactly what they're going to do. And if they do it well, there's not much you can do about it. Yes. Like they're going to, like the actual thing that I said on television was they're going to try to take 33s. And if they make 11, 12, 13, 14 of them, you're going to have problems. And it really doesn't matter how well you're playing. And then the game started. And what did they do? They didn't quite get to 30, but they got close to it. And they shot above 42% from three.
Yep.
So when they're doing that, I don't want to say it doesn't matter how well you're playing, but sometimes you get a matchup like this, a Sweet 16 matchup, including a one seed, and the one seed can say, I think honestly, if we play well, we'll be fine. If we play well, we'll be fine. But when you're playing Alabama, there's always a qualifier. If we play well, we'll be fine as long as they don't get wild from three. Because right. Then we might not be. The problem for Carolina in this one, of course, was that even when Alabama got wild from three, Carolina, they weren't playing well. And a lot of that was R.J. Davis. And did you see this? R.J. Davis and Caleb Love tonight in the same building combined to go 0 of 18 from three. Caleb Love 0 of 9 from three. R.J. Davis 0 of 9 from three. These former teammates, backcourt mates, on a big stage in advance of a matchup that was supposed to involve them, they both throw up stinkers at Crypto.com Arena and become, I saw this from Jared Burson, he invented ESPN Stats and Info.
He did.
He said that R.J. Davis and Caleb Love are the first two players in NCAA tournament history to ever both go at least 0 of 9 from three-point range on the same day in the NCAA tournament. Wow. So it's not just in the same building or former teammates that did this. Like, no two players in the history of the NCAA tournament have ever played on the same day and both went at least 0 of 9 from three. So R.J. Davis, Caleb Love, they've had some incredible moments together, apart, this season, but they'll want to forget this night for as long as they live.
Yeah, R.J. Davis, 16 points. Seemed good, but 4 of 20 shooting. That's not great. Armando Bacot was pretty good in this game, had 19 points. Missed a dunk in the second half that felt like it was pretty crucial. Per Brian Ives' stat here on R.J. Davis, this was the first game all season R.J. Davis did not make a single three-pointer. Carolina ends up losing this game by 2 points. Just a brutal beat. Alabama played out of their mind. Grant Nelson was fantastic, 24 points. He had a huge second half, 19 points in the second half, finished with 5 blocks. Including the clincher, kind of swatting Harrison Ingram's prayer at the end there. So it's a great win for Alabama. We always thought that this was possible for Alabama just because their offense is so lethal. And they get hot tonight and they're advancing. It's a really impressive win by Nate Oates in this Crimson Tide program.
So if you're looking for tip times on Saturday, the Clemson-Alabama game is actually going to be the late game. It is scheduled to tip at 8:49 p.m. p.m. Eastern on TBS. Your 6-seed Clemson against your 4-seed Alabama. And you and buddy, if you live in Southern California and you want to go, I bet you can get in pretty good. Because it looked on TV like the fans in the building were mostly Carolina fans, which would make sense. They were the 1-seed. So that's going to be a lot of folks, I would assume, traveling back home, trying to move tickets. Like, I bet you could go on the secondary market right now and find you a pretty good Clemson-Alabama ticket for an affordable price.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, strong jaw. If you can get a, I'll get you a flight if you want to go. You just let me know, all right?
I'll holler at you. I'm here in Dallas. I'm going to watch these games first.
Let's move over to the East region where the reigning national champs are running thing at TD Garden in Boston. We'll do that next. But first, a word from our partners.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, on to the East region, and let's start with the reigning national champs. They had the early game, much to the demise of Dan Hurley, and they made it a blowout. No problem. Final score, UConn 82, San Diego State 52. UConn has now won 9 straight games in the NCAA tournament by at least 13 points. I'll ask you the same question I was asked tonight on TV, because it's starting to get a thing that I think most people are saying yes, but it always felt like such an absurd question to ask, and yet it's just not an absurd question anymore. The question's simple. Is this UConn team better than last season's UConn team? What do you think?
Yes. This team is better than last year's national championship team. I think there's a case to be made. This is the best UConn team in program history, and this is a very proud program. They've got multiple national championships. Last year's UConn team was, I mean, just it crushed everybody. They were dominant. I had a little bit of a lull in the regular season, but dominant during the NCAA tournament. Ended up winning 31 games. This team, defensively, when they lock in, they are completely unstoppable. Offensively, I mean, they have so many different guys they can throw at you. Tristan Newton was great tonight. Stephon Castle, just a 5-star freshman who's coming up and, you know, having a big game. Cam Spencer, who's like Dan Hurley's clone, has a big game tonight. And Donovan Klingon really didn't have his A-plus stuff, and they didn't really need it. They ended up winning by 30 points. I mean, just the weapons that this UConn team has is hilarious and unfair. And I think there is a very strong case that this UConn team, better than last year's UConn team, better than any UConn team in program history.
Yeah, I mean, all the data suggests that that's true. You know, your eyeballs can tell you whatever you want your eyeballs to tell you, but all the data supports that. And like Brent Stover put that question to me, it's sort of playing off of, we were carrying the San Diego State press conference live. So we were coming right off of a Brian Dutcher press conference, and somebody asked Brian, is UConn better this season than they were last season? Because obviously San Diego State played UConn and got beat by UConn in the national title game of last season's NCAA tournament. And Brian was good. He sort of smiled and he said, well, they're either better or we're worse. You know, and I think probably both things are true. I think UConn's probably better and San Diego State's probably a little worse. And that's how you get a 30 point victory in the Sweet 16. And, you know, when Stover asked me that, the way I explained it was, if you'd asked me that in November, I'd have rolled my eyes at you. And in December, probably same thing. Although I'd have been like, you know, I'd have considered it. January, I still think my answer is no. February, maybe I'm still like, let's slow down. You know, I'm still on Purdue. But I mean, I've reached a point where I think the right answer is yes, they're better. They just are. And like, there's some very basic ways to highlight this. You know, they didn't win the Big East last season. They won the Big East this season by 4 games. Mm-hmm. They didn't win the Big East tournament last season. They won the Big East tournament this season. No problem. They've got a better record at this point in the season than they had at this point last season. The computer numbers are better across the board. They just are. So it sounds absurd to wonder if a team that won a national championship, got to think about what we're thinking about here. A team that won the national championship by blowing out everybody in the NCAA tournament and had 2 NBA draft picks, including 1 lottery pick, and that doesn't even include the guy who was the most outstanding player of the Final Four. They lost all 3 of those guys. Is this team better? It sounds like an absurd thing to even, like, what? Of course not. Except somehow, some way, Cam Spencer's part of it. The development of Tristan Newton's part of it. Stephon Castle's part of it. Somehow, some way, it appears that Dan Hurley, after winning a national championship in absurd fashion, has built and developed a team that's even better than that team. It doesn't guarantee anything, but I am well aware of why UConn is becoming a pretty sizable favorite to win this thing. It's because consistently now for a while, they've just blown out everybody. And, you know, they've never lost on a neutral court all year, never lost at home all year. They're the favorite for a reason. I get it. I'm still going to pick Purdue just because I'm going to go kicking and screaming. But I understand if you're not. I understand if you're picking UConn instead. They look the part.
Yeah, you're a Boilermaker.
I'm 60% Boilermaker. I was 40% Aggie, but now I got to think about that. You know, we've had some changes up there in Logan, you know?
That's true. Yeah, that's tough. That's tough. That's going to be an interesting matchup. Purdue-UConn, if that happens. Who are you riding with? You're riding with Purdue all the way?
Well, I mean, I have to.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, the only way we could get to Purdue-UConn would be in the title game.
Of course.
And if I'm the idiot who's been screaming Purdue all year long, that would be a terrible time to back off of it, right? I mean, if I was going to back off of it, tonight would be the night to do it.
You could change your priors. Change your priors.
Well, no. Well, here's the thing. Like, everybody's like, look at what UConn just did to San Diego State. And I am too. I just did it for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Look at what Purdue just did to Utah State.
No, that's true. Yes.
All right. So, like, you know, Utah State was your Mountain West champ.
Yeah.
So, like, we get caught up in a moment. And I know, like, UConn has been doing this to good teams more regularly than anybody else.
Yep.
But, like, we just watched Purdue beat the actual champion from that same league, you know, by a billion. So, if we're headed that way, that's where I want to get. You know, I mean, I'll take a championship game however it comes, but Purdue-UConn would obviously be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I think UConn has been in its own tier for the last couple of weeks. But Purdue, lest we not forget, has been a clear top 2 team in college basketball this season. Maybe top 3. You want to throw Houston in there. UConn, Houston, and Purdue. The way Purdue's playing right now, killed the Aggies. They're playing on a different level right now. Edie is dominating. Their guards are playing with a lot of confidence. Yeah, it feels like we're on a collision course for UConn-Purdue. We'll see if it happens.
Yeah, my history with saying stuff like that is that guarantees something bad's going to happen tomorrow. Anytime I say, like, what? There's a clip, I think Nada retweeted it at some point, where Norlander was, I think, giving me stuff for being so heavy on, like, 1 seeds and 2 seeds. And like, you know, he's always, how could you pick three number one seeds and a two seed or whatever to get to the Final Four? You know, it never goes that way. And I'm like, I don't know. I just like picking the better teams. I don't know. I just watch for 4 months and I go, I'm pretty sure this team's better than this team. And then I'll pick it. And then, you know, and then it doesn't. And then Jack Golke happens. What do you want me to do? All right. So he's giving me like the business. And then at some point, I don't even really remember the context, but at some point I said, what do you want me to do? You want me to pick Clemson? I just sort of said it like that. and now here we are. That's the nature of this tournament. Where Norlander is right is that something like this always happens. What is difficult is trying to identify where this something like this is going to happen. Right. Because it almost never makes sense. You almost never saw it coming. I mean, Clemson was two games above 500 in the ACC, and I know the ACC was tougher than everybody thinks. I know. I got it. I know the ACC was tougher than anybody thinks. Although I did just watch the ACC outright champs get eliminated by a not SEC champion. But whatever. We don't have to talk about that right now. I'm just saying, you know, Clemson was just a whatever team in the ACC. And now they're, you know, in the Elite Eight, and you know, all of this stuff is you can safely assume going into any tournament that something like this is going to happen. But you don't know where it's coming. I promise you, even Brad Brunell didn't know where this was coming from.
No chance. You think in his own bracket, he picked Clemson to go this far?
Well, I mean, I hope he did, but I will say, like, there are times when we're doing the candid coaches thing and we're asking, like, who's going to be the best team in the country? And most coaches don't vote for themselves because, we're texting a mid-major coach or whatever. But, like, there are coaches sometimes who, like, absolutely say, we will be the best team in the country. I have multiple coaches this year who picked themselves to be the best team in the country. And if one of them wins it, I might, you know, turn that into something. But, I hope Brad Brunell picked his Clemson to go to the Elite Eight, but I'm not certain he was he was counting on it. Either way, I'm happy for him. Let's go back to the East, because after we got UConn running through San Diego State and advancing to the Elite Eight for the second straight year, I think probably the best game of the night. Would you call it the best game of the night? Final score, Illinois 72, Iowa State 69. I'll be honest, I'm on TV the entire time this game is going. We're watching it, but we're also talking on live TV, and there's only so much you can do. So I know Terrence Shannon was terrific again, 10 of 19 from the field, 29 points. I get the sense that it was a fun back and forth affair where maybe one team didn't lose it as much as one team went out and won it. Maybe the team with the best player, maybe that's what it comes down to, is just one team had Terrence Shannon, the other team didn't, and you know, he went out and got 29, and so now you're in the Elite Eight, and the other team's season's over. You tell me, what did you make of Illinois' 3-point win over Iowa State?
Yeah, I would rank it second best game on the night. I think Alabama Carolina was clearly in its own tier, but Illinois Iowa State was very, very good. Iowa State actually trailed by 13. It looked at one point like Illinois is going to end up running away from this. But Terrence Shannon got into foul trouble in the second half. He, after a huge first half, had 20 points in the first half, ends up with 29 points, still a solid game, makes a big plays late. But there was a stretch there where he sat on the bench in foul trouble, and Iowa State made a little bit of a run. Iowa State finished 13 of 27 on layups per stat broadcast. Just absolutely brutal. Just a ton of bunnies that it felt like, man, if Cyclones just had even hit maybe half the ones that they missed, we're talking about a totally different game. But we're not. Illinois is going on, and they're going to be playing UConn in the Elite Eight. Terrence Shannon just playing out of his mind right now. 29 points in this one. Obviously had 30 points against Duquesne and 26 points against Moorhead. As you kind of mentioned just a minute ago, it kind of came down to Illinois had the best player on the floor, and right, Iowa State did not. There was a little bit more to it than that, but Shannon was just firing on all cylinders, as he has been, you know, throughout this entire postseason, really.
And he is the type of guard, and obviously he's, you know, his season has been overshadowed by a legal issue. He was removed from competition briefly. He has not gotten the attention in a positive way this season that an RJ Davis got at North Carolina, that a Jamal Shedd has gotten at Houston, that a Tristan Newton has gotten at UConn, that a Mark Sears has gotten at Alabama, frankly. But he's that same level guard. I mean, he's that same level guy who can go out and take over games. And, you know, if you're trying to put a list together of perimeter-oriented players who can take over games and maybe carry you to a Final Four or to even a national championship, Terrence Shannon Jr. he's on that list as a basketball player. The other stuff is complicated, and it makes the entire story complicated. And it will become a bigger story the further Illinois goes. Like, at some point, I know Brad Underwood's been asked questions, but those questions aren't going to stop. And they certainly won't stop at the Final Four. If they get there, they'll ramp up, and they'll probably get a little more intense and a little more direct. But if we're strictly talking basketball here, this young man is one of the best basketball players in the country. He's looked like it consistently, and he's not the only reason Illinois is in this position, but he's definitely the biggest.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Illinois is definitely more than Terrence Shannon Jr. Tonight, Marcus Domask got a little bit struggled, 7 points in this game. But, you know, Domask is a guy who can go for 20 points on any given night. Coleman Hawkins finishes with 12 points, has 3 assists, looks the part. I mean, there's a lot of weapons on this Illinois team that, you know, I'm not going to be picking them to beat UConn. But if they end up giving UConn a little bit of a push, wouldn't be totally surprising. This team is red, red hot right now.
So with that, we'll look ahead to Saturday. Just make sure you understand the tip times. 6:09 p.m. Eastern on TBS. That's number one UConn in the East. I guess the third seed, Illinois. And then at 8:49, we'll go to the West region, and we'll have Clemson and Alabama. I haven't seen point spreads placed on these games yet, but I did see the KenPom numbers, and at KenPom, it is Alabama -2 over Clemson and UConn -6 over Illinois. So the numbers, when they're posted, will be something similar to that. And this just sort of made me chuckle. You know, I mean, you go to a scoreboard page, it'll say, you know, there's certain scoreboard pages, and they'll have links to like a secondary market, and it'll say tickets as low as this and tickets as low as this. So Illinois UConn in Boston on Saturday night. What's the cheapest ticket at 1:48 a.m. Eastern on March 29th? If you wanted to go right now and buy a ticket to Illinois UConn at this secondary market, what is the cheapest ticket you could buy? Worst ticket in the place. What's the number on it?
It's $137.12.
It's 203.
Okay.
The get in price is 203 as of this moment. If you want to have the worst seat in the building, it will cost you 203.
That's pretty high.
Now, remember what I told you, if you wanted to go see Alabama and Clemson in LA, you could probably get you in there pretty good.
Yeah.
Cheapest ticket to get in to Crypto.com Arena on Saturday for an Elite Eight game between Alabama and Clemson. What do you think that one is?
$137.12.
$34.
Yeah.
$34.
About to catch a plane.
You should catch a plane. You could see Nate Oates or Brad Brownell, one of the two, make their first ever Final Four. Wouldn't that be something?
I'll see him in the Final Four.
Yeah. You know, I'll Venmo you like $300. We'll send the whole family.
Double Dog Dare Me? I'm just going to
just get on a flight.
Just desert my duties here in Dallas. And
the poor folks at Crypto.com Arena, they're not happy about this. I thought, hold up. I thought we were about to have North Carolina and Arizona jam packed. Now we got Clemson, Alabama. You can get in for $34. I hope you do. I hope if you're in the Southern California, get to watch history. Either Alabama or Clemson is going to the Final Four in the sport of men's basketball. You don't see that every day, Strong Jaw.
You really don't.
All right. That feels like enough. I'm under instructions. They said we're trying to keep these between 30 and 40. So this feels like enough.
We did it.
Now.
Is that this, GP, or is this like a 3-hour unwind window for you?
I wish it was an unwind window. I wish I could just pour a big drink and listen to Cowboy Carter. Instead, no, I've got to prepare for two different shows tomorrow. I'll do the GP show at 11 a.m. Eastern. And then I will do the Ion College Basketball Podcast on CBS Sports Network at 2 o'clock Eastern. So I'll say goodbye, and then I'll just start preparing for more things, and then I'll do them tomorrow. And then, and then we'll be back here tomorrow night. Oh, it's going to be great. This is a fun time of the year.
This is the best time.
I actually think like August is the best time of the year. I really enjoy August.
Yeah. Like, end of April. Pretty swell. Yeah.
You ain't never gonna catch me talking on camera at 2 o'clock in the morning in August. I tell you that.
So you're saying you're built like built for March in the same way John Calipari's Kentucky team is built for March.
Well, at least this don't seem like the time to be taking shots at Coach Cal, Kyle Boone. Kick a man while he's down. He'll bounce back. There's always next year. He's got a good recruiting class coming. That should work, right?
A lot of really promising freshmen.
Yeah.
Do great.
Yeah, I mean, he's got good freshmen again. What could go wrong? I'm sure it'll be fine. Shouts to Devin Downey. I always forget it's so late when I'm doing that in this hotel room. I always forget there's got to be somebody right next to me going, what in the world are we doing? I don't know. Shouts to Chester, South Carolina. Shouts to Terry MF and Teagle. He's a legend. Huck Larnell. Thank you guys for watching, listening to the Ion College Basketball Podcast. I honestly have no idea. Like, we're going head-to-head with Beyonce. Like, what are you even here for? Seriously. Your options were to hang out with me and Strongjaw or listen to the new Beyonce album. Crazy that any of you are here. But I appreciate you. And we'll see you Friday afternoon, 2 o'clock Eastern, on CBS Sports Network. Till then.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has 3 episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.